and taking care of me each and every day. And I love you for this in all things. In the name of your sweet son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. That is kind of in the book that we've been using by Richard Rohr about this new world that Jesus envisions, he's saying he's calling people who share this vision for a new world. And so for 6 weeks we've been looking at this vision, and it culminates in the giving of the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are meant to help us see things through new eyes, hear things through new ears, to kind of circumcise our heart, to turn things upside down. And if you remember, who went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments?
Moses.
Now Jesus goes up the mountain, and there's supposed to be, if you're catching it there, an overtone of Jesus as the new Moses. He goes up the mountain, but he doesn't give Ten Commandments. He gives us the Beatitudes. He reclaims God's truth in a very refreshing way that if you didn't have the previous 6 weeks, it might be a little hard for you to take in. But now that you have that, I think you will see that these make a lot more sense to you. And what's interesting is Jesus does not address these to the very, very large crowds of 5,000 and 6,000 that are recorded. He addresses these to the people who have been following him and learning his ways. Not just the 12, but that larger group that's been following him from town to town. They're on what he's saying. They're buying in. They're trying to understand. And so it's not just to the 12, but it is to this faithful group of disciples following him, which means that these are for people just like you and me. Those of us who are trying to follow, we're trying to grasp what it means to be a student of this rabbi. And Jesus' believers are prepared, Jesus believes, to hear these challenging words. And so today we're trying something a little different. Each circle has been given one of the 9 Beatitudes. The number of your Beatitude is at the top of your sheet. There was a paper when you came in on everybody's sheet. This is what's going to happen today. We've not done this before, but I am firmly convinced it's going to work. So, each circle has a Beatitude. Each circle has Richard Rohr's commentary on that Beatitude. And each circle should have at least one person who has been here some of the last 6 weeks to know how Jesus has been framing these Beatitudes. You are going to have from now until 5 to 11 as a group to talk about your Beatitude, figure out how you would preach that Beatitude if you were Jesus preaching this on the mountaintop to the rest of the gathering. Over here, I have given you possible visual aids.
There are things to draw, there are scissors to cut, there are some things that might be helpful as you try to make your message point. And so you are free to use anything over here that you want. You're free to use your group however you want. You're free to use anything in this room however you want. What's in your purse, what you brought with you, it doesn't matter. You can use it however you would like. But you have till 5-2 to figure out in 1 minute. Each group is going to come up, or a representative of that group, you have 1 minute to preach your Beatitude. You have 1 minute to preach your Beatitude to the whole gathering who is not studying your Beatitude, they're studying their Beatitude. Does this make sense? If this doesn't make sense, raise your hand so I can make sense of it for you. Okay, so you have commentary on your Beatitude in front of you, you have visual aids, and you have your imagination in terms of how you, in 1 minute, would want to say to the gathering, this is what Jesus is saying in this Beatitude. Ready? Go.
Thank you.
Okay, you're halfway mark. You have 5 more minutes. So I'm going to say you present.
Thank you.
of your intellect, your heart, your passion, your artistic ability, whatever it happens to be that you are bringing forward. So this is how we're going to proceed. Up on the screen will come the Beatitude. We're going to read the Beatitude together, and then that group will come up and share with us something that's instructive or inspirational or helpful about that Beatitude as they were reading and studying and thinking about it. Everybody cool with that? So let's worship God through this, and let's begin with the first Beatitude that Jesus gave. Let's read it together. How blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
I'll make an attempt at this, not having spent 1 hour in seminary. How blessed are the poor in spirit is the statement, as I have received, to be answered with a question. Because the Beatitude states, how blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is there. How do you who are poor in spirit inherit the kingdom of heaven? To be poor in spirit, which in our interpretation seems to be that you're not very spiritual. But Jesus says something else. How blessed are you who are poor. And I believe the message that is being given here is that we who attempt to measure the spirit by material things are poor. The rich are those who measure life not by the material things, but by the grace of God. That would be my interpretation.
Second Beatitude, let's read it together. Blessed are the gentle, they shall have the earth as an inheritance.
Expecting a more of a militant Messiah to come and liberate them from their oppressors, help them to have the inheritance that God promised them, make back the land, and things like that. But here he's redefining in the context of the kingdom of God that he is bringing, the kingdom of heaven. So instead of being the violent, we're going to overtake them, you know, pep talk, we're going to knock down our oppressors. He's saying, blessed are the gentle, or as commentary that we have here is another translation would be the non-violent. They shall have the earth as an inheritance, so not even focusing just on taking back the area that they had occupied before, violently from their oppressors, but that the non-violent, so characteristic of the kingdom of God, being a non-violent kingdom and broader than
to the third Beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted.
For this Beatitude, we have Jesus trying to say that rich person, and that the rich can kind of surround themselves with meaningless objects to make of themselves a thing.
We kind of depict this with a picture of heaven, which is a cloud, and we see people moving towards the cross, and the cross moving towards the earth, and then we'll see down here the dollar sign pointing towards the earth, and people who are gravitating towards the chasing the money, chasing the dollar sign, rather than chasing the spiritual part of the law, going towards the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They shall have their fill.
So we took on the thought of social justice and the things that are going on in the world.
Wait, no.
We were considering the social justice going on all over the world in other countries where people are being killed, that they don't have enough meat, they don't have shelter, they're not living in a safe environment. For the people that are coming in from on the southern border that are on that track here and that are being stopped at the border and living in makeshift communities with tents that they make out of blankets. And it got cold. It was unusually cold for a period of time there. And they didn't have fresh water. They didn't have food. They were suffering there in that state. And Me Too movement, women that have been sexually harassed and molested, and along with the sex trafficking. And we talk about how one of our in our group, their daughter works in Washington, and how there are marches, all the time. How you don't become complacent to the things that are going on around you, and jaded and think, okay, well, that's somebody else's problem. We have to empathize with the situation, and our voices need to be heard for those that don't have voices themselves.
Okay, the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, they shall have mercy shown to them.
Mercy is the mystery of forgiveness.
By definition, mercy and forgiveness are
unearned,
undeserved,
not owed.
Non-forgiveness is a form of power over another person, a way to
manipulate, shame, control, and diminish another. God in Jesus refuses all such power.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for giving us 6. Play a little back. Hey, Will.
The seventh beatitude. Blessed, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be recognized as children of God.
Conversation can be scary because I think at the heart of all of our misunderstandings with each other is fear. The heart of all misunderstanding is fear. And what's happening in our political system right now is that the 1% you are at the top of the pyramid or the food chain or whatever you want to call it, money. And we're going to wars, and people are being hurt and abused, and so there's a lot of discussion that needs to happen.
We talked about how a lot of times peace is God's peace, not our peace, not our kind of peace, and that a lot of times we have to look deep within ourselves to see what might be blinding us from peace with another person, and also open ourselves to that other person's needs and vocabulary, that we don't shut down before we really finish the conversation and really hear the other person. Because peace isn't just the absence of war or the absence of doing things wrong. It's a much deeper thing that God is calling us to. And we really have to, when we go to bring our finger, we need to have the other thing. So we, in each issue that we face, that we're called to deal with peace, that we learn and take that as an opportunity for God to lead us to a deeper and deeper level of what peace really is.
and really gratitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of justice. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
If you need guns to hunt, you really are bad at it.
No one should be hungry.
Education for all.
Education for all.
Everyone should have an
Everybody
education.
Everybody should be able to get an education.
Everyone. I work for my food. I work for my money. What are you doing?
Education now.
No. Women don't have to work. We're talking about Illuminati. Illuminati time.
Blessed are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. This is how they persecuted the prophets before you.
Bring them in.
Don't
I think. It's the right thing to do. These,
I like these blueberries a lot more.
These refugees
sit down and quiet.
They live in.
I want to be sure. Do you like refugees as much as you like those two cats and that little dumb dog you have?
Jesus suggests that when we live out the life described in the Beatitudes, he calls us the salt of the earth. How many of you have a person who is a salt of the earth person, like in your life? You're like, oh, they are such a salt of the earth person. You even use that expression to describe them. And when you say that, what are you meaning when you're saying they're the salt of the earth? This person, I've said this at many people's funerals recently who have died, that this is a salt of the earth person. What do you mean when you use that expression, salt of the earth?
My grandmother, I thought was the closest thing to heaven. She was the salt of the earth. If anyone had a relationship with God that was closer to her, I don't have any.
What does it mean when you say salt of the earth? This is the salt of the earth. What do you mean?
I see it as a hardworking, honest person who isn't afraid to get dirty.
Isn't afraid to get dirty, but hardworking. What else?
Yeah.
Makes the world better. It's salt. It's a flavor enhancer. It brings out the spice of life.
Well, I have a family that's the salt of the earth for me because from day one since I met them, there's nothing that I needed to do or they help me with more. And they can bring me a sense. So I have a whole family there.
A whole family that is bringing you and showing you a sense.
Salt is a preservative. therefore it allows for an hard time to preserve the union as the blood.
Right, yes. So for the ancients to which Jesus is addressing this, to the disciples at the time, it was the only preservative. Now we have a lot. But salt was the only known preservative, the only spice, and often a symbol of healing in this culture. So Jesus invites us to hold on to and to live into the upside-down wisdom that we've been studying now for half a dozen weeks. And Jesus promises if we live with these attitudes, we will have enough flavor for the whole meal of life. This good news lived out gives us a taste of God's kingdom on earth, here and now. So, when you can weep, Jesus is saying, when you make peace, when you are persecuted and you're still joyful, when you identify with the little ones, the throwaways, then Jesus says, you're doing it right. Want to know what holiness looks like, Jesus says? Try practicing the Beatitudes and you will see the very kingdom of God among you. You see how Jesus is painting for us and pointing towards a new world, the title of our series, and how very often and far the church has strayed from this new world vision that Jesus gave and continues to give. So, when and if we believe the word and we practice the message that the Sermon on the Mount teaches us, we will see and be part of a new world that points others to this Jesus, to whom, because they were living this out in the earliest days of Jesus living on the earth, this is what they said to the early church, and this is what they want. This is what Jesus wants them to say of us as we live out the Beatitudes. See those Christians, how they love one another. Amen?
Let us pray. Dear God, each one of us was born into this world through our mothers as we celebrate their lives today. No matter. No matter, dear God, our relationship with our mothers now. It can be strong, it can be tender, it can be tough. Let our relationship with you, dear God, allow us to live out these beatitudes. Allow us to take to heart, take to mind, through our eyes, through our hearts, the words you've given us, dear God. You've taught us all. You continue to teach us. And we continue to learn. Dear God, today let us remember why we're here. Let us celebrate our beginnings and those who gave them to us. Let us thank every woman in our lives, mothers, daughters, grandmothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, friends. Let us thank them. Think of them. Think of you and the strength that every one of them has given us. Dear God, we thank you and we pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now we come to a time of offering, and if you were not here last week, we did announce that after Carol had given you a God Revision team right after tax day, the news that we were about $3,000 behind, and we asked those of you who made a commitment to try to make up for January and February. As of the end of April, we are the balance budget. And so we want to give great thanks for that. So keep up the good work so that at the end of the year, we're at the balance budget and all is well. So please take the clipboards, pass them back around your circle. Take one of the orange sheets. If you have a question, a comment, or a wonderment that you would like to put on that sheet, please do so. And then the baskets will be passed both for your morning offerings and also those sheets if you would like to submit a comment. Let's continue our worship with God and celebrate and give thanks that God is in our hearts.
Thank you.
week here that one of the prime words that the scripture uses to describe God is compassion. And the word compassion, literally translated, is that God is like the wind. Compassion means